Woo!
Actually, no, I'm not wooing tonight. That's the last woo you're getting out of me tonight. Hey, everybody. I'm Blair Johnson. This is Raptors Rant, hosted by myself, Megan Smith, who's calling in tonight, and Philip Marion. Shows all things Raptors in the NBA. We cover current stats, news, and feature exciting guest speakers. If it's your first time listening, here's how it works. Show is broken up into four quarters, around 10 minutes each. First quarter is a recap of last week. What was the Raps record? Interesting headlines, etc. Second record, all about the stats. We break them down for the Raptors and all around the NBA. Third quarter, typically a special guest. Sometimes we debate, big time rant, whatever it might be. That's sort of a wild card. And the last quarter is rumors and news from around the NBA. Let's do this.
All right.
Tonight we are fired up.
It's just a couple in the Leafs as well. It's just a disappointing time for Toronto.
Just a terrible weekend. And then the Jays are starting, and oh man, this is not a good time for us.
You guys are the definition of overreactors.
I will tell you why we're not overreacting very shortly.
We're close to the playoffs here. This is time to like fire it up and be firing on all cylinders.
First things first, let's just go. I'm going to do a quick recap. Last podcast was a while back.
We were riding high after that Boston win.
After the Boston win. So since then, I'll go quickly. So we faced Portland. We won 119-117. Lost to the Pistons in OT. Lost to the Rockets pretty handily.
There's a lot of beats going on in here.
We beat the Pelicans. We beat the Heat. We lost to the Cavs. Beat the Lakers. And then lost to the Pistons again. I see three off nights there in the span of a couple of weeks.
How many load management games were in there? Do you remember?
I think there's at least two.
But I truly do think we have to give a shout out to Dwayne Casey on his second NBA championship sweep of the Raptors.
That's as good as he's getting.
That has not happened since the 2008-2009 season.
Where Detroit swept us.
Yeah.
In a season, yeah. A season series.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So the Raptors were 4-4, which they have the...
We swept them last year, though.
Fair enough. They were one of the worst teams in the league last year, right?
They were terrible.
Yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs. So the other factor is that when... You know, last time an important thing that we discussed was home court advantage in the playoffs, which we'll get into a bit more. But so I just want to reiterate what the Bucks record was over the last eight games, and it was 4-4.
And I remember last time we were talking, we were like, man, very low probability of us catching them. And we looked at the Bucks record, we're like, they're probably going to lose three games the rest of the way.
And they've already
lost four.
And Brogdon's out.
Brogdon.
Yeah, but that was just now. They lost to Phoenix with him. They lost to really bad teams as well. And the Raptors could be tied with them right now.
I hear you, but I also think there is a level down that it seems that all top teams in both conferences seem to take it down to every year pre-playoffs. And it's the 6, 7, 8, 9 seeds that are really playing their heart out. The Raptors are pretty settled in their spot. I don't think the second spot is a bad thing, and especially if they end up facing Brooklyn. So, yeah, to me, this isn't as much of a red flag as you guys see it as.
Well, we're starting to see clutch moments, not really delivering. We'll get into the stats side's really going to deliver some of the news here. That's what we've got lined up. But it's really just been a disappointing two losses of the Pistons in general. If I want to look at those,
look at those three games. The first one was a last-second win for Detroit. Second was an OT battle with no Kawhi. Third was brought it down to the final minutes, back and forth, and no Kyle and no Serge. So it's not like we're getting blown out with them. They've been competitive games. We just haven't been finishing as strong as we have been, and that's disappointing.
They are not taking. I just don't feel like they're taking these things seriously. I don't. And some of the games, the intensity's not there. They're not focused for an entire game.
Yeah, and let's not. I mean, you're marginalizing the fact that the games were close against a team that Phil had to ask me if they were above 500. Their record against 500 plus teams, they have 10 wins this year. So
three are against the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about a good basketball team here. They're a total mediocre basketball team.
True.
I mean, sorry, right. The major issues, I just, well, number one, let's talk about the positives. Freddie's back. He looked great. He looked sharp. Kawhi and Danny, great tandem. Love them. Never separate them, please, and Sai. And all I know is Zaza, when he is on the court within 3 feet of Kawhi, I literally, like, straight up panic. I hate him. He's dangerous.
Are you talking about when he injured him?
Yeah, isn't he the one that took Kawhi out for, like...
I believe there was one... Yeah, I think it was in the... Yeah, it was in our Western Conference Finals.
Took him out for a year.
Well, no.
All last season.
Was it? I thought he just got injured. I thought, like, the Western Conference Finals, he rolled his ankle, like, a couple times.
No, I think it was Zaza.
Well,
either way, we all know Zaza. You've got a point there. I don't like that guy. I don't like the way he plays. Typically speaking, he just goes out there. He's too aggressive. So,
yeah.
Good thing.
I want to say, OG's got to learn how to dribble and control his body. And once he does, he's a threat. But until then, man, he needs to work on that. And also, I'll be surprised if Lin gets any playoff minutes.
No, Lin should never see the floor.
He's
not for a minute.
The fact that they had to start that quick of a decision, third quarter comes up tonight, and it's like, no, you're off.
I think the biggest thing for me, just looking back at the last seven games, is, and the season in general, is we continue to talk about it, but I'm shocked by the lack of, you know, need or the sense of urgency to snatch that number one seed. And now what's happening is Golden State is starting to catch us too. And I don't even want to mention the word finals tonight, because I think the Raptors are limping. They're limping right now.
They limp every year.
This is not how you. I understand that you're trying to say that, you know, the teams on both sides. But I'm just saying, you're saying teams sort of, you know, have these lulls sort of going into the playoffs. Well, I would have liked to have seen them step up to the plate and say, we're three games back. These guys are losing. Let's go take the number one seed from them. And all I see is everyone else coming in and playing harder than we are.
Correct.
I agree. I totally do agree with that. I think the lack of competitiveness and drive to just bring it home is frustrating. But to me, it's not as much a red flag that we're doomed in the playoffs as it is for you guys.
Can we get
back to Lin for a second? Am I the only one that feels now that Nurse has completely lost confidence in him?
Well, I mean, I think he's lost confidence in himself.
Everyone should.
He's shooting 17% from three right now. So, I mean, he's shooting 35% or 34% from the field since he's joined the Raptors. I mean, at that point, if you're that bad offensively and you're really not facilitating, I mean, you shouldn't be on the floor. His minus is shocking right now for the Raptors. So
he's awful. He's just not effective at all unless he's working a pick and roll into a mid-range shot or even a contested layup. I don't know. This current funk, it's a drag on the team. It's a drag on the fans. I'm sure it's a drag on his teammates. I don't know.
Well, Freddie's back now, and hopefully...
He does give effort defensively. I'll get him that.
But yeah, so would I, though. I mean, that's, you know, the reality
is... He's in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, effort is not something that you get points for in the NBA. I mean, it's something that, you know, we talk about when you don't do it, but when you do it, you shouldn't get any credit for it. You're getting paid tens of millions of dollars to play basketball,
right.
But again, I think it's just... The other thing that's concerning to me, and this is something that, you know, you'll hear Nurse talk about his system. It's like, creativity and free-flowing. We don't have any consistency in how we score. You have some nights you have Siakam, some nights you have, and people will say, that's great. Well, not really, because when things get tight in a game, you don't know what to turn to, because you're like, last game Siakam had 30 points. The game before that, Van Vliet had 25 points. Okay, great. Well, what's going to happen right now? You take the ball.
It's give it to Kawhi. Think about what happened, it's going to happen in crunch time, and you should give him the ball. He's the most efficient scorer. But what I dislike is just, no movement. He looked at the fourth quarter tonight, and it wasn't very pretty.
And I think that, sort of some of our questions have been answered about, was this Nurse's team last year or Nurse's offense last year, or was it Casey's? Because, listen, they moved the ball a lot better than us tonight in the end of the game and in the overtime game, too. The ball just stops moving in the Raptors' offense, and it's so infuriating. And the only reason we're not more angry about it this year is because Leonard's been better than DeRozan was last year.
Correct.
And if he wasn't, we would have been, we'd be freaking out right now saying how garbage this offensive philosophy is. And you know what? in the playoffs, when they put the whistles away and things get tough, and you know, when you can't lose a game like you did tonight, because every single game matters, we're going to be having this podcast regularly, and I'm just predicting right now I'm not going to be very happy.
Well, I agree with your point, Phil, that it's all about Kawhi in the playoffs. He's obviously going to be our go-to. And what amazes me about him, and especially tonight, is just how freaking strong he is. Like, I didn't actually realize he was making a point of driving to the bucket, and he can pretty much bump anyone that stands in his way. He even got Drummond a few times there, which was pretty impressive. I think why this game was such a win for Dwayne Casey, though, is because the problem is that Pistons were basically daring him to score on the drive and selling out to stop him. And Kawhi was a little too slow on the pass to take advantage of that tonight. So credit to Casey. Well-coached game.
The other thing that's sort of, you know, that I haven't seen yet, Gasol is so scared of shooting.
Seven shots.
In 35 minutes. And there was a couple times tonight where they moved the ball and, you know, for sure he keeps the ball moving. He led the team in assists tonight. But at the same point, you don't always just want to see him pass. Like, you're there to be a scorer too. If you're on the floor and he's capable of scoring and he's not, this isn't Dennis Rodman.
No.
Like, yeah. We need to see you start to attempt to score. If you're going to lose games like this, if this is what your philosophy is, oh, the second seed is okay, then chuck him up. Find a way to insert yourself into the offense other than just doing handoffs at the top of the key. Now, don't get me wrong. I love those handoffs. I love the way he moves the basketball. But he's one-dimensional right now on the offensive side of the floor, and that's not what we got him for.
I wouldn't exactly say he's been good defensively earlier either. Like, he drew one early charge on Blake, caused a bit of trouble for Drummond with some fouls, made some good kickouts in this game, and hit a few shots. But honestly, he was awful defensively too.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's gonna be matchups, right? Where you're not gonna be amazing every game, especially when you're in the paint. I mean, you're visible on every single play. You know, you're caught in no man's land on pick and rolls. It's a tough spot to be in. He moves all the time. You can see him thinking. You can see him moving. And remember, basketball, especially down low, is very much a team defense. You're expecting when you're switching on pick and rolls, and you've got a guy like Blake Griffin who does a lot of those types of plays. You're relying on the other side to bail you out a lot of the time. So I'm not worried about him defensively. He's a defensive player of the year. Maybe he's not the same guy as he was, but his brain is, you know, he's a good defender.
Can we talk about how Blake Griffin is actually a problem now? I was never a fan of his when he entered the league or pretty much for his early years, but he's done an amazing job of developing his game. He's a great shooter.
Well,
he's quick with his passing. It's nice to see a healthy Blake Griffin season.
Yes and no. He's a jerk. And at the end of the day, I'm not too thrilled to see him thrive. I'm being honest here. He's not a good guy. He's not. He's constantly complaining and crying and picking fights.
What do you base that on?
His reputation. And, like, why do you think the Clippers just completely gave up on him? Why did they give up on him? Completely gave up on him. They decided to do a max deal, and they're like, get out of here. Get out of town. They didn't care. And they were willing. Yeah, and then the pieces they got from Detroit, they ended up getting rid of. That's how much they thought of Blake Griffin. So
I don't know.
He's always been a very good player. He's been, since he came into the league, and he's always developed. Last 5 years, he's had a three-point shot. He's had average 20, like high 20s, or not high 20s, but it's been that mid-20s per game, high rebounds, perennial all-star. Guy's been a great player, but jerk.
Physically speaking, he's an absolute animal. He can dribble and shoot threes. He can do, you know, we always knew he was a dominant physical specimen. He's still in a basketball team in the Eastern Conference. I mean, the Eastern Conference is pretty good this year.
And look, he's that good. They're 500 team. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into stats. Let's go.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That was my pen click to say next.
Yeah, I'm just going to This is in the NBA, so we have, like, at the quarter change, we have to, like, flip the things back over, like the jump balls. Remember back in the day when you were a kid?
Yeah.
They had the thing. It was like the arrow just would change directions. Okay, so let's get into stats. Phil, I know this week you're, like, hot on the stats. You came in with pages of, like, old school paper here with, like, stuff written down on it.
Unfortunately, I don't have my laptop tonight, but in any event.
Thank God.
Here's the thing. We mentioned Kawhi. Kawhi is Kawhi. He is going to be there. He's going to be consistent. We all know what he's going to do. But as obviously I always rip on Lowry, at the end of the day, Lowry is the most important player on this team. And from a stat perspective, you look at how important he is actually pretty staggering. So when Lowry is on the floor, the Raptors have a net rating of plus 9.3. When he's off, it's negative 2.3. Like, that is a huge swing. Now, you look at Kawhi. Kawhi is literally, he's a plus 6 when he's on the floor and a plus 4 when he's off. That's the net rating for the Raptors. So there's really not much of a difference when he's on or off the floor.
That honestly doesn't surprise me. When I watch the games, I'm like, I'm not like, get him back on the floor, get him back on the floor. I'm like, man.
Sometimes it's, the team really makes runs when he's off. Now, at the end of the day, it's quiet. Like, you want him, he's a plus 6 when they're on. So, at the end of the day, he is their impact player. And a lot of times, if you didn't have Kawhi this season, the Raptors are not even close to where they are. The other factor is, which is concerning, is that Kawhi Leonard, among the players in the NBA that are averaging above 25 points a game, he's dead last in assists. That just shows. And also, too, another thing is when the Raptors only get, when he's on the floor, they get an assist on only 56% of their field goals. Now, I get it. Kawhi is a very efficient scorer. They can run a lot of ISO plays for him. But this is why I get into the whole load management thing and the offense gelling. I don't think you're going to do as well with an ISO style offense in the playoffs. It worries me. And Kawhi came out with comments, oh yeah, no, the 82 games are practice until the playoffs. Yeah, 82 games are practice when you're with the Spurs and their organization for years over years, when you guys know each other inside out. You know, it's a, you still don't know each other inside out on the Raptors. There's still a lot of times they don't look like they're cohesive. They don't look like they're playing together well. And those things don't bode well. Now, one just quick, I'm going to be done after this. He is improving. So in December, he was averaging 2.6 assists a game. January was 3.9 and February was 4.2. I don't know what it is for March. We'll get those numbers shortly. But he's getting better at that, like in terms of moving the ball a bit more. But it's still, it's not, he's still dead last among those players that are 25 plus.
Okay, I have a bit of a rebuttal here. I have three stats that I think prove my argument that the Raptors are a much better team when Kyle Lowry is on the floor.
I just said he was good on the floor. I said they were better.
When he's at his best. And I know you do agree with bits of that. They are 23-1 in games where he registers a net rating over 10. When Lowry plays passive, they're barely above 500, a 6-5 record, when his usage rate is below 15%. There have been 11 such games like this, to his significant role on the court. He's a quarterback on both ends of the floor, and he's a key scorer and distributor. And the third one, the Raptors are 20-2 when Lowry shoots 20% or 40%, or better from deep. Sorry, one more I've got. And they are 19-5 when more than two-thirds of his shot attempts come from beyond the arc. This is a major area in which his scoring role has adjusted under Nick Nurse and alongside Kawhi Leonard. Sure. So when he's aggressive and taking advantage of three-point opportunities, the team is better off for it.
That's what I was just saying, is that going through it, Kyle Lowry is the most important player on the team, and it also scares me to death.
That's the worst part of this whole
that
thing.
That is the whole... if he plays like he does in the regular season in the playoffs, I think we get to the finals. I do.
And why are you pessimistic?
Because his clutch field goal percentage is terrible. And his past playoffs performances are terrible.
We're not talking about shooters
on this team. That his making buckets is not nearly as important as it was in past years.
No, I agree with that.
Past years, that's how playoff teams guarded us. They shut down Lowry and they shut down DeRozan. This year, who cares if they shut down Lowry?
But I think Megan, one of the things you're saying there though is that these stats based on their winning percentages going up are based on Lowry being a scorer, not necessarily just a facilitator. He's What scares me about him is that we do rely upon him. Like, Van Vliet tonight was our second option, and he was hitting everything. And that's going to be replaced by Lowry. Obviously, Van Vliet will be on the floor. But, you know, we, again, it's not a small sample size here. We've been in the playoffs for years and years and years in a row.
We've been swept three times.
We've been swept three times. And we've won series where he's been atrocious. I think he's had one playoff round against Cleveland the 1 year where he was good.
There's well, his stats few. Last year against Cleveland were good, but we got swept.
Yeah, so
yeah, but guys, the biggest area of difference in this season compared to last season is his pure volume of assists. His point production has dropped significantly. He's averaging nearly 10 points per game, fewer this season than 2 years ago. And a lot of it comes down to recognizing where he can be the most valuable, and that's in his passing and playmaking.
Well, the jury will be out, or the jury is still out, and it's going to come back in when we go through the playoffs. We're going to see. So here, that's what we have to wait for.
So here's a couple. I know we talked about this, but I just want to say this because I thought it was good. But here's a first stat for you. Stat number one, Jeremy Lin sucks. That's a stat. He's shooting 36.2% from the field and 17% from three. I just needed to say that because when I watch him, I'm shaking. I'm so angry. And I just, you know, he's a very nice person. And I hope to God that next year he's the coach of like a high school basketball team, because this is not an NBA basketball player. And you know what? If he's maybe next year, he'll be,
is gone.
Maybe next year he'll be on the team we play in the playoffs and then I'll love him. But right now it's probably the most angry I've ever been watching basketball, because there's nothing fun about watching him on the floor. He flails around. He just tosses the ball up on floaters in the paint. He doesn't move the ball at all. It's terrible. So, I'm done talking about him, but I just want to say that. That's a stat. Jeremy Lin sucks.
Yeah, he's bad. I mean, bottom line is he's probably not going to see any playoff minutes. And, yeah, this team is not as dependent on Kyle Lowry scoring as they were in past years. And, yeah.
Okay, so here's two stats that I want to talk about, because these aren't hopes and dreams stats. These, you know, stats don't lie. Stats are the truth. They're based on fact. They're based on volume for the most part. This is based on thousands and thousands of numbers. Okay, so regular season, home teams win 60% of their games. Okay, that's a stat across the NBA. And let's keep in mind, that takes into account the worst teams in the NBA. So 60% of the teams in the playoffs, that raises by 5%. So you're just under 65%. Of home teams win in the playoffs, okay? The Raptors only win 60% of their away games this year. That's what they've, and they're the second best team in the NBA. They have a 60% win percentage on the road. And the
is
Bucks,
that high?
60% on the road.
Yeah.
And the Bucks have won 82% of their home games this year, and that includes the loss to the Sixers today. So 82% the Bucks win at home. 65% every team wins in the playoffs at home. The Raptors have to go into that environment.
If they get there.
If they get there, and they have to win four games in that series. So how are we going to do that? That's a question. How are we going to do that against the Bucks?
Listen, I will say this. I will say that we are better equipped with a player like Kawhi, and we have winners on the team.
But it's not about being better, but those are just stats. I
know those are the stats, but there's obviously percentage of teams that lose in the playoffs, and why obviously it's harder to win on the road. But I do think obviously with players that are champions, you do have a tougher mindset. They have been winning more clutch games this year, so I'm going to bring a little positivity to this. It still really pisses me off that they didn't make it a priority, because why wouldn't you want the one seed? It makes no sense. You don't play for the two. You play to win. Play for the one. It makes no sense at all. So when you keep doing this load management crap, I think it affects you. Anyways.
I don't disagree with you guys at all. Like, I really have no argument for it. I don't think it's the end be all, but I mean,
I'll tell you the other thing that really, what's the thing that used to say? The grind in my gears. I'll tell you the thing, grind in my gears. After tonight's game, Nick Nurse comes out. He's like, oh, a lot of positives from tonight's game. And then
no,
he starts,
not.
I was just like, what's the positive here?
You lost to Detroit again. You got swept.
And then he started talking about things like like players. He's like, oh, like this guy was doing it. I was like,
the only positive is Fred VanVleet came back and played really well. That's the only positive in this game.
That is the only positive from this game. But, you know, when you come out and you're trying to win like those types of battles, when you should be coming out and being like, we let an opportunity slip up by us tonight. That's what he should be saying. We need to be focused on catching these guys. We need to be focused on going in the playoffs strong. Losing is not something that we take lightly. I see a lot of good things that came out of tonight's game. What? That you lost to Detroit for the second time in 2 weeks?
Blake Griffin came out and said, it's unacceptable that we're a 6 seed. He's not happy where they are. You know, they're trying to battle their way up. They're trying to play hard. Why aren't the Raptors trying to do that? It's like they're coasting in. Let's make sure we're healthy. But guess what? Resting. And look, Kyle is legitimately injured. Rest him. He needs to be healthy. He does. He's the most important player on the Raptors. So he has to be healthy.
I would not give Nick Nurse a high grade for this game at all. I would have liked to see a lot more structure brought to the offense. And where, like, we struggled with everything pretty much except three-pointers. We did make it rain a little bit, and I really can't think of a single pass to the roller, though, which was a big issue. Defense struggled. I don't know. I don't know if we can blame Nurse for this, but Lynn has way too long a leash, and this is obviously...
Well, you don't have any other option. I mean, you couldn't play Fred that long.
It's a limit restriction for Fred, obviously.
And then you have what other point guard?
I do think he made the right call with the closing group. Who was it? Fred, Danny, Kawhi, Siakam, Gasol, maybe?
I think so.
It didn't really work, but I think it was the right call. But I don't put this game on him, but I would have hoped for a little more structure.
Yeah, it's really upsetting. I mean, to get swept by Casey is really it hurts. It hurts.
I just typed in Nick Nurse. I just want to just, you know.
I will say one positive: the amount of Toronto fans in that arena. That is essentially a home game for the Raptors, which may make it even worse.
It does make it worse.
Home game for the Leafs last night in Ottawa.
That was
too
bad. Really? Let's not talk about that. I'm just upset about that. Especially because we, in that series, have to catch Boston.
Okay, well, we can't even talk about it. Hockey's out.
Okay, I've never done this. I just did a little quick Twitter look on Nick Nurse, just the word Nick Nurse. I just want to read out some of these things and get your guys' opinion. Okay, so Nick Nurse, this is the first one. Nick Nurse has no clue. He constantly mismanages the bench, rides them way too long, and loses all momentum. 12 games to go, we better figure this shit out or forget we the North. More like we be out in the first round.
Who's
all right.
Twitter is this?
These are just random
people.
Okay, here we go. Nick Nurse's
spells Twitter.
I'd say worried second round. If the Raptors even have if they struggle in the first round, they're dead to me.
Okay, here we go.
I truly think the only bad matchup for us in the first round would be Detroit, and now there's pretty much zero chance we're going to match with them. It's likely.
Are they a game up on Brooklyn? That's not no chance. There's 11 games left or 12 games left.
No, they are. Hold on, let me check this. They are. I think they're 2 games.
Okay.
Back. So yeah, Brooklyn is. Oh no. Okay, Brooklyn's 1 game back.
One.
And Brooklyn, what's our record against Brooklyn this year?
I think we're 2-1.
And did we win one of them?
No. We pay more. They're a division rival. We play them more. We'll play them more often. At the end of the day, whether it's Detroit or Brooklyn, if we even have to think, I'd rather play Brooklyn than Detroit, we may as well quit. Because
that's what I'm thinking.
Let's stop the podcast.
Now, I'm a pessimist. So, but at the same point, I watch those games, and we struggle. We can't pull away from those teams. They play us tight every single time.
I'll give Brooklyn this. Brooklyn is a tough team to play. They're not a pushover. At the end of the day, if it goes to 6 games, I'd be upset.
Here we go. I'm going to read 2 more, okay? Nick Nurse's hard doubling every ball screen on defense philosophy is idiotic. It's one pass into a dunk or layup every time.
That's a good point.
Here's another one.
Well, okay, and Detroit's hot right now. They've won 8 games in a row at home. Like, I don't, guys, it was close. I don't think this is as much as an abomination as you guys.
We are the second best team in the NBA.
We just lost to Cleveland the game
and
before,
we
so
have
what happened
and
there?
We have the easiest, and we have the easiest schedule in the NBA, going to the end of the season. And we just went 4-4. And we just went 4-4. Fine, I'll give you today. Today was very losable game to a hot team. I'll give you that.
And Serge and Kyle were out.
Sure. So I'll give you that.
I'm just saying, take it for what it is. Like, it's not, I don't think it's as bad a sign as y'all think it is.
Are you not seeing some of the weaknesses that are present? Like, in terms
of
the offensive, just there's not collected. They're not collected. They're not together. They don't focus. They don't. A lot of times.
Fixable.
And is it? Is it? Is it with 12 games left? I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Because they've showed way more times that they're together than not.
Not for a full game. I haven't seen it. So they're playing really bad teams. And you beat the Pelicans, who were basically giving up on everything.
I still think a large factor of that is Nurse playing with lineups. He's still trying to figure out what works. Which, honestly,
and we're only 12 games left in the season. So yeah, that's
no, I was saying, like, I don't think that's a good idea, but I do think that is an issue.
The whole thing is, it's not going to magically come together if you're going to continue this way. And also, going towards it, so if say Kawhi only plays like 8 of the next 12 games, and then you have Kyle who's resting, and then you run into a first-round matchup with a team that is streaking in because they've been playing for their playoff lives. I was around to watch the Knicks, or I watched the Knicks play the 8th seed and make it to the finals. The reason they did it, they had to win the last 6 of their 7 games to make the playoffs. So you're going to run into a team like that, and you are resting players, and you're playing around with the lineup. You don't even know who works well together. There's 12 games left of the season. If we struggle in the first round as a result of this, it's going to be bad. Nick Nurse will be kicked out.
Here's my last one. I searched through to find some good ones here, Megan. Here's my last one, okay?
Yeah,
this is my quote of the night. Whoever this is really smart. It says, I like Nick Nurse's plan of not letting the Pistons scout the Raptors' offense by not actually running any offense.
Yes.
Boom.
Hey, maybe that's his plan.
You know, but I am starting to see, like, last year, you guys have heard me talk about, I complain a lot about, I loved it during the season, the second unit, but I didn't really realize why I was liking it. And then in the playoffs, I was like, oh man, this was a big mistake, because I talked about it a lot, but you talk about chemistry. Last year, the Raptors had no chemistry in the playoffs, because as soon as that second unit was no longer effective and they couldn't use it, they were like, well, this is what we did all year. What do you want us to do now?
No, it was over.
It was over. And so now you're seeing the rotations that he's using, because he's doing the same thing. And everyone on Twitter is talking about it, and we see it. He puts in that second unit, which is absolutely atrocious. He lets them go and go and go, and he doesn't mix any of the starters in with them. It's literally just like he leaves them to die out there, and they lose all momentum. And basketball is a game of runs, but if you can stop the other team's runs, that's how you win the game. You don't want to get to the end like this.
Yeah, the Raptors' second unit is substantially better when Lowry or another starter is in it. Absolutely, I agree with that.
And now you're seeing, like, again, I know Dwayne Casey is the coach of the basketball team, but there was clearly a lot of Nick Nurse DNA in the team last year, because I think you're seeing the struggles of him not knowing how to match and put, like, it's fine to put the 5 starters on there. Everyone, you know, you and me and Phil can be a coach if that's what we're going to do. But honestly, the intricacies of the flow of a game and putting in the right players that play well with each other and matching up properly, big lineups versus small. Nick Nurse is showing that he's struggling with this. And there were some matchups tonight, especially with Blake Griffin getting covered by, you know, Siakam and whatnot. And I love Siakam, but sometimes you just can't put, you just don't match up well with somebody. And you've got to be able to catch on to that before it just keeps going and going and going. Again, you know, this is his first year as the coach, but we're going to see a lot come the playoffs to see who's playing, how are you riding momentum in the games. And listen, guys, you know, we had the first seed last year, and we can say whatever ever we want. I was at the game at home when we lost to Cleveland by like 40 points. This team has the capability of being really bad. And so I don't want that to happen, but I see in games when we play down to the level of the competition like we did tonight, that's what scares me. And remember that this isn't, when you watch the Golden State Warriors a couple of years ago, now that's a different team now. They've won so many basketball games. They've won so, to not
I
get.
I think they're getting bored.
Exactly. This is the year, there's no excuse for the Raptors to be bored. This is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to us.
They
we have
have
all
been
these
going
young
for
players.
A team record and wins. Why not?
And that's go what you it. See Milwaukee. Milwaukee, again, their record lost, but they don't have to win like we do. They're 3 games up on us. We have to
With
win
the
basketball games.
We have to gain 4 games in them now in how many games?
Exactly. Well, it's done now.
It's finished.
But they have breathing room, so that we have no excuse for playing down at this point in the season when we should be having tons of excitement, tons of energy, and going for that number one seed, because this is as good as it gets, guys, for this team. Because next year, even if Leonard stays, we're not better next year. We're just the same team. I mean, there might be a couple of moving parts, but I don't see anything astronomical happening.
There will certainly be moving parts. I would bet money that Kyle Lowry will not be a Toronto Raptor.
Okay, fair enough. So we have to replace that now. So now you're saying we're getting worse. We just said our most important player now is gone. So now we're getting worse. So how, even more so, why are we not?
Why do you say we're going to get worse? Masai is the best GM in the league. He's a magician.
I agree with you on that.
We just all agree that Lowry is the most important player on the team, and now we're saying the most important player on the team is going to be gone. So
yeah, but I think Masai could flip him into something good. He's got 1 year left on his contract. That's a hell of a lot of room. Even if they get somebody who's, you know, even if they put Freddie on the starting lineup and then just wait till the offseason to sign a max free agent. I think there will be substantial offseason moves if Kawhi stays.
Well, again, I think that's just sort of because
I think Kawhi will be gone, but that's just...
Yeah, and I don't think that makes my point any different. My point is you have a lot of...
And listen, Blair, I agree with you. I certainly don't think that the East is going to be a cakewalk at all. Legit, there are probably four playoff teams in the East who could win a finals, and only three in the West. So
I think there's only
two
teams that can win a finals.
Who?
I think there's only two teams in the East that can win the
finals. I think Toronto, Celtics is a maybe. Denver, 76ers and Bucks and the Raptors. There's four.
Yeah, I mean, again, those are all. I won't even say.
I thought you meant in the Eastern Conference.
I just think Denver. Those. I think those teams will.
All in the Eastern.
I think those teams will be better in the playoffs.
I thought you said Denver. Never mind. Forget
it. No, Toronto, Celtics, 76ers, Bucks.
Yeah, and I think I think Boston's more built for the playoffs than the regular season as well, and I think the 76ers probably are as well too. So as much as they haven't played as well during the season as we thought they would, playoffs a different time. So you know.
Of all those four teams, I think by far the weakest. Philadelphia, just in terms of depth
for sure.
Shortened rotations, 100. Like it's just to me.
Listen, Philly's starting five is as good as there is in the NBA. I mean, that's unquestionable. No, so the depth for sure, but you're gonna ride your five.
It rides on Embiid.
Exactly, and if you shut down Embiid, you're gonna have a problem. And we know the Raptors match up well against.
I agree.
To guard Embiid, and we've shut Simmons down in every game we played him this year. So to me,
it's a good matchup for us.
I think it's a good matchup, but I still don't think you say, "Oh, Gasol just neutralizes Embiid." I don't think that's going to happen.
Helps. I don't think anyone neutralizes Embiid, but no. He helps.
Yeah, no, I think that's our best case scenario is to play them. Whenever that's going to be, whether it's the second round or the third.
Well, right now it would be second round.
Yeah,
unless Detroit beats Philly.
And then you have, pending the Celtics even beat Indy, but then you have the Celtics and Milwaukee going at it, who I don't know who would win.
Celtics-Milwaukee? It's a good point, because you don't know. I mean, that the Milwaukee still has not won, or when's the last time they won a playoff round?
Yeah, experience is their major hindrance.
They're going to the second round this year. I mean, they most likely are going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and if they play the Raptors, then probably the finals. But the
it's going to be fun.
But Boston,
the East is going to be fun.
Everybody, like Boston's going through. I can say Boston and Toronto are probably in similar shoes right now, from the standpoint that they both look unorganized going into the playoffs, which is very concerning. Sure, but guess what? They actually do have more talent on their team.
Roster in the NBA.
So, well, Golden State does, but otherwise, that's Boston.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe young talent. Maybe I don't know. I just still think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are phenomenal.
They are.
But I don't know. To me, I just think the playoffs are a different beast. What scares me about Milwaukee is they literally have no playoff experience. And even if Giannis goes off, but I don't know. To me, the Celtics are a bigger threat.
Well, for sure. I mean, if they find a way to play well together during this last stretch of the season, look out.
But you know what? Paul Pierce was on, I think, The Jump the other day, and he was saying that he actually has the Celtics most likely of those four teams to get knocked out in the first or second round. He said because it just takes one incident, one bad look, something to set that team off, and they become toxic again.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, they're a terrible road team. So if they're going off on the road all the time, I mean, it's inevitable. Yeah. They're not playing well on the road.
Well, let's focus on beating Detroit first. Okay.
I think they're going to die by Kyrie Irving.
Okay, so I think we're 40 minutes in now, so that's pretty much close to the fourth quarter or into the fourth quarter. So I think we've covered most of the Raptors stuff. We've got a couple of important games coming up. I mean, not important,
but
important.
Did you guys get all your rants out?
For the most part.
Not really. I didn't really rant too hard.
Feeling good?
I'm just not comfortable swearing on the podcast yet, so... I kind of held back.
If we brought up Odell Beckham Jr., you'd hear a real rant. That's
punch a pillow, honestly.
Yeah, or so I think the last thing
we know, Odell Beckham Jr. in a happy way, it would be a happy rant that he's gone.
Exactly,
piece of garbage. Anyways,
so I think the last fourth quarter always around the NBA, and there's not much to talk about other than we're getting near the playoffs, and there's obviously a couple teams fighting for playoff spots, things like that. But I thought it was even though I hate him, there was something like the invincible, like the Teflon Don, and you just sort of expected it, but it was sort of sad to see LeBron not be able to turn it around when he wanted to this year.
100%.
I agree.
I actually hate LeBron James so much, but
there was a clip of him from the last game standing outside of the huddle, like completely not listening to what Luke Walton was saying. And
I think Luke Walton, that guy's toast.
Yeah, he's not the coach to have with LeBron James, that's for
sure.
Hey,
guess what? As much as we don't like, Lonzo Ball, when he went out, that team really changed.
Yeah.
It did. They were the four seed at one point.
There's just something sad about...
Ingram has more of an effect.
No, it's Lonzo Ball. It's 100% Lonzo
Ball. Lonzo
Ball
is their Kyle Lowry. He plays the game at such a fast level. Like, the ball just moving. He pushes it. The speed of the game changes when he's in there. And no one can replace that.
I hate to give him any praise. I hate his dad.
He's a good kid, though.
He's great. His dad is a psychopath, but other than that, it's just...
I feel like if you had a son, Phil, that's exactly what he would be.
But not a chance.
But there is something sad about just seeing greatness. I mean, not that LeBron's not still great, but there's something sad about seeing greatness not be great anymore,
He looks defeated now in his past. Interviews, like, it's just
he's given up.
We know we're not going. I just want to take care of my body.
Well, it's been eight straight finals. Like, that's actually, I take a year off. There you go. Take some rest. Go do some recruiting in the off season.
Yeah. How do you feel about
hear the rumor? Oh, okay. First, the recruiting. How he said to Kawhi, we'll be in touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kawhi didn't give him.
Yeah, but Kawhi gives nobody the time. And Kawhi probably said, yes, I'm coming, under his breath.
Whatever.
Kawhi just bumping chess with him was the most...
He never liked the Lakers. I could not see Kawhi ever going to the Lakers.
I agree with you, just from a media standpoint. Who wants to be around LeBron?
Yeah,
that would be...
Exactly. For a guy who hates every interview, like, he'd just be hounded. But, I don't know. Lakers are sad right now.
It is. It's too bad. Because I do want to see. I want to see the Lakers and the Knicks be good again.
The Knicks is just as bad. I mean, it's worse, obviously.
Trading him before the trade deadline, that they said nobody was safe. So I.
If they traded LeBron James,
player to play with LeBron.
That would be the. Well, they need to find guys that are used to roll. Like, Klay Thompson would be a perfect fit in the Lakers. Perfect.
Well, they need shooters. That's the big problem. Is every team LeBron has ever played on
have shooters.
Because they put a bunch of shooters around him. Then they put him in LA and sell, like, old age, playmakers, wannabe playmakers. It's just not.
What are you referring to, Rondo? Please don't go there. No.
You know what? Rondo's impressed me in the past while, but I'm talking about, like, JaVale McGee and.
They get excited by Tyson Chandler. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
It would be amazing, though, to see LeBron get traded because, there's the two things that make me hate LeBron James. The decision is the most embarrassing thing that's ever been done. I think it's just so disgusting.
He's borderline. Like, he turned himself into a sociopath.
It was ridiculous. And then the second thing was last year when he said, I'm pretty sure 31 teams want me on their team. And so if the Lakers traded, I'd be like, boom, 30. And then it'd be like, Golden State doesn't want you. Raptors don't want you. Nobody wants you. So that'd be pretty good. That'd make me very happy.
I will admit, aside from the decision, he has been excellent media-wise. He's never really said the wrong thing. He's a great spokesman for the game. He really is.
Oh, he is, and his charitable donations have been like spectacular. Like the guy, real life LeBron
super
is probably
arrogant. So is MJ, but
anybody at that level is arrogant. I mean, that's the whole thing. Kawhi is probably arrogant. Arrogance.
I don't know. Yeah.
Of course, you have to have a level of arrogance to be an NBA superstar.
Well, look at LeBron, man. He's been in the eye of the media since he was, 16 years old? Like, of course he is the way that he is. But his run has been pretty smooth, aside from the decision. And, Kawhi's just... I don't know. He was on Serge's How Hungry Are You episode coming soon.
Is it played yet? No, when does it come out?
Yet. I'm excited to see it.
Okay.
Apparently it was worms.
Okay, guys, can we sign off on the podcast with this one thing? Are you guys ready
to
sign off?
Sure, let's do it, yeah.
Okay, I just want to play this one thing and get your reaction, Megan, okay?
Okay.
1 second.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
For anyone who hasn't seen that yet.
Anybody wonder why he never laughs on camera anymore?
The Bucks play his laugh when the Raptors have a turnover.
Have you
and
seen
the
that?
Stadium. It's amazing.
Have you seen that, Megan? The Bucks play the laugh. So for anyone who hasn't seen that yet, please go to YouTube and type in Kawhi Leonard laugh and just see the real one. And then type in Kawhi Leonard laugh as NBA and NBC
theme
song. Don't
give them any more views. Oh,
that is gold. All right, guys. Well, that was a good one. We'll get back together, especially after the home and home coming up, and we'll see what happens.
All right.
Take it easy, everyone.
Everybody.
See ya.
Bye.